Blog Talk Radio.
I watch your face while you are asleep. Arrested grace.
This is for you, Haiti.
I want to keep.
This is for everybody around the world. That's going to a lot. And there is only one God. The Lord's our light on the pain at night. He shined through darkness. I pray for my people that's lost. That's why he was on the cross for our sins. This world's no more, so I not help the poor. Natural disaster, earthquake, Haiti, that's where my parents' birthplace is crazy. I'm still fighting with myself, holding on the truth. It's not good for your health. Time is running out, so keep strong. Even the road is long, so just keep faith. Love people that hate, don't look back. Family, friends, love them to the end. Here, grab my hand, and let's be a rock like the band. And jump up and be God's biggest fan. Let's go and follow him to the road that's no longer cold. God help us all, let's get up while we fall. Please answer when he calls. You gotta be honest, just listen to my voice. In this world, you gotta make the right choice. It's not about rich or fame. During hard times, you just switch up your game. My heart matches my body, my soul, my spirit. My people, can you feel it? Our God is the realest. Reaching for the stars, walk with me. Cause we gonna make it far. I've been places, I've seen faces. Very unhappy, now the devil's trying to trap me. But my faith is power, so I'm scared that coward. So I keep flowing like the shower, minute by minute, hour by hour. I become my dream, every day I become my king. Keep a lookout, cause it's coming like a thief in the night. Get ready, no more fight.
Thank you, Lord Father, for everything you've done for us, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the listeners that's listening that wants to change their life, Lord Father. For Faith is Power Radio, we are going to reach across the nation, give the gospel out, no matter what happens, Lord Jesus. Lord Father, bless us and bless those that need your help. Bless those that need, that their family need your help, Lord Father. I want to pray for the family and their friends and whoever's struggling, Lord Jesus, in your blood, I pray to you. Amen. I am your host, Joseph the Dreamer, and I would like to say glory to God. You know, thank you for everything that I'm here, I'm still alive, and, you know, it's a beautiful morning. Basically, I got an audio. It's with Perry Stone, he's talking about the heavens. He explains about the heavens and everything else. But I'm going to get the Jack and Venom P audio about the end times and everything else later this week or next week. I'll do my best on that one. But let me go ahead and play this, and then, you know, we can continue later on.
Thank you.
Welcome to Manifest, hosted by international evangelist, teacher, and author Perry Stone. On today's program, you will experience a powerful right now word that will change your life forever. Enjoy unique insight into prophetic and practical truth as Perry ministers using biblical word studies, ancient Jewish history, and Hebrew customs that will cause the scriptures to come alive as never before. It's time to feast on fresh manna, so get ready to be blessed and encouraged. And now, here is your host and teacher, Perry Stone.
Well, welcome to Manifest. It's a great delight to have you join me for a special that we are going to do for the next several weeks. Now, let me start off by saying, first of all, I want to thank the Lord for all these wonderful young people that are with us. Many of them are students at Lee University. Can I get a cheer for Lee University, somebody? Yeah, there they are. And they're going to be joining us as we teach today. And also, we have some props with us, and you'll be hearing more about the props and the reason that we have those visuals for you in this teaching. For the next few moments, I want to discuss something with you that I think you're going to find very intriguing. For many years, I have read books and even interviewed individuals that claim that they had what we call life after death experiences. Now, one man in the 1970s, his name was Bill Fischel, died of a heart attack and was revived by the doctors in Oakland, Maryland. At one time, I even had his medical papers. And Bill literally said he descended into a chamber under the earth at a place that he identified as hell. And there were people there, and there was even odors that he could smell like burning flesh. And I remember interviewing other individuals who said that they had an experience of a heart attack, or maybe they were pronounced dead at the scene of an accident. And these individuals talked about going to heaven. Now, here's what's interesting about all of the people when we read the books, we read their testimonies, or we interview them personally. They all describe at the moment of death exiting their body. In fact, there's several things that seem to keep coming up. One of the situations you constantly hear is they hear a buzzing noise in their ears, a very strange, loud buzzing sound. Then they describe exiting out of their body, which would be, according to Scripture, the soul and spirit departing the body. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says that you are a body, soul, and spirit. The other thing they often describe, and I always found this intriguing, is a tunnel of some sort. If people who have died, clinically they are dead, maybe again an accident or a heart attack, they go downward. But people who are believers, who believed in God and had a covenant with Jesus, always describe going upward. So the sinner goes down, but the believer always goes up. And here's the key point. They all describe a tunnel of some sort, a tunnel. Now, to those who are sinners, it's a dark tunnel. Or it's a tunnel that is lit by fire. To those who are believers, they often describe a tunnel with light at the end of it, or sometimes a tunnel that even looks like it's lined with all sorts of colored gemstones. Now, again, this is experiences that people have had that we've studied or interviewed over the past 33 years of ministry. Well, having said that, I begin to think about something, and that is this. Are there cosmic entrances to heaven? When you have the Hubble telescope bringing back these beautiful pictures of all the nebulas and constellations, planets, and other things that we are able to see for the first time in this generation, I want to ask the question, is there an actual entrance to heaven? What is heaven like? Where is heaven actually located? And I'll promise you, if you'll stay with me for about the next 16 minutes, I'm going to be giving you some things to really think about, and I believe some fresh insight that will interest you as well. Now, there are layers in heaven. If you go back to the time of the ancients actually had an idea that there were seven different levels of heaven. Now, some of this is even taken from Jewish teaching about the different words like the sky, the heaven, the heavens, the different Hebrew words that are used to describe the upper layers of the atmosphere all the way to the edge of the galaxy. Now, that's interesting because if you look again, among the ancients, especially the Hebrew people, this is what they believe. They believe there was the sun and the moon, and there were five main planets, or there were seven what they call heavenly spheres in the atmosphere of the heavens. Seven. Now, that's interesting because the menorah, which was in the Jewish temple, was a seven-branch candlestick. Now, according to the Jewish historian Josephus, he wrote this: the temple had in it three things that were very wonderful and famous among all mankind: the candlestick, the table of shewbread, the altar of incense. Now, the seven lamps, this is the seven lamps on the menorah now, signify the seven planets, for so many were there springing out of the candlestick. So in other words, some of the ancients had this idea that there were seven planets. We have identified nine now, at least in our time. And it was signified by the Jewish menorah that was there in the ancient Jewish temple, both the tabernacle of Moses, the temple of Solomon, and the temple of Herod from back in the time of Jesus. Now, what is interesting about that, there also became a teaching that goes way back to ancient times. This goes back among Indians, it goes back among some of the Persians, and also even the Jewish people, that heaven actually had seven layers to it. And I want to just share that with you. First of all, they always identified that there were 7 days in a time of a week. And Saturday was actually dedicated to, and we're talking about, if we go back to the Greek and Roman times, Saturday was dedicated to Saturn, Sunday to the sun, Monday to the moon, Tuesday to Mars, Wednesday to Mercury, Thursday to Jupiter, and Friday was dedicated to Venus. This is how the Greeks and Romans, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. In other words, they were all linked to, those days were named and linked to the seven major constellations or planets that the ancients knew existed in heaven. Now, among the Jewish people, however, the Jewish people did not date their, give their days names. It was always first day of the week, second day of the week, third day, fourth day, fifth day, etc. Now, in the Jewish teaching, or among the Hebrew people is a better way of putting it, the first day of the week, you know, the Bible says that they came to the tomb the first day of the week. That would be on Sunday, and you go from that to Tuesday, which is the third day, and you go to the seventh day, which is Saturday. So there again, the Jewish people put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and they repeated the cycle every 7 days. The seventh day was Shabbat or the Sabbath. But among the ancients, they believed, again, that those 7 days were linked to the seven planets, and that's why we have names today that are given based on the planets that the ancients believed existed in the heaven. Now, having said that, I want to share something very quickly, and I don't want to spend too much time on this because I want to get into the Word, that there is in a Jewish teaching the belief of seven layers of heaven. The first layer is ruled by Gabriel. The second one is ruled by Zachiel and Raphael. The third is ruled by an angel named Anahel. The fourth is by Michael, the archangel. The fifth level is by Samuel. The sixth level is controlled by an angel named Zachiel. And the seventh by an angel by the name of Casiel. Now, all of that is extremely interesting, but what we want to know is what does the Bible have to say about heaven? All of that is just interesting for you to understand. Here's what the Bible teaches about heaven. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that he was caught up into the third heaven and saw things it was not even possible for a man to speak about. Now, when you look at Paul's teaching of the three levels of heaven, that appears to be what you see from both the Old and the New Testament, are three layers or three levels of heaven. Here's the first. The first level is the clouds, revealed in Genesis 1:26. Where man is given dominion over the fowls of the air. That's the first level of heaven, or the area of the clouds. The second level is the starry heavens, or the starry space, in Ephesians 2:2, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So the second level of heavens is above the clouds all the way to the starry atmosphere. But then there is a third level, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, which appears to be what we would call the edge of the universe, or the edge of our galaxy. In other words, at the very edge of the universe, that begins what we call the third heaven. According to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he was caught up into the third heaven, into paradise, and saw things that he couldn't even mention to people here who he wrote to back in his day. Now, third heaven, paradise. What is paradise? The Greek word there is a word for an orchard. It means, actually, it refers to the place where people who have died in Christ go when their soul and spirit leaves their body, and there they are waiting and resting until the time of the what we call the resurrection of the dead, or the dead in Christ, when they will be raised. So watch this. The body goes back to dust, according to the book of Genesis 1, but the spirit goes back to God who gave it, according to Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. That's why Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, because the soul and spirit, which is the eternal part of you that that will not die leaves the body at the moment of actual death. When the heart quits, the breathing stops, all bodily functions cease, then the Bible teaches that's when death occurs. And I'm going to throw something out there, and I'm going to ask them to put the scripture on the screen because I had no idea I was going to go in this direction. But in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is talking about how that there is death and how the mourners go about in the street and how he compares it to a pitcher with water being broken. And then he talks about ever the silver cord be loosed, then man goes to his eternal home. And I read that years ago about this silver cord being loosed, and that's when you go to your eternal home. Well, I knew when a baby was in its mother's womb, it was connected to the placenta of its mother by the umbilical cord, and that's how it was nourished. But when the baby departs the mother's womb, what does the doctor do? He cuts the cord, and the baby begins a separate life on its own. Now, without getting too strange or weird, and I know young people love this kind of stuff. The adults may think it's crazy, but I'll just talk to them here. But people who have had life-after-death experiences, several of them have described seeing, it's about the size of your pinky finger, it's a silver cable that connects your spirit to your body. And I believe that's what Solomon had reference to when he says, if that is cut, then man goes to his long home. So in other words, you're not dead just because your heart quits beating, or you're not dead just because you quit breathing. You only are actually dead when that cord is severed from your body. Of course, only God can put that back together again, like he would have done it with Lazarus when he brought Lazarus back from the grave. So in other words, we see these things are extremely interesting because we know that when we die, as believers, we will go to paradise, which is located in the third heaven. Now, having said that, if we talk about heaven itself and where heaven is actually located, I was 18 years of age. I have never forgot this and preached a revival at the North Cleveland Church of God. In fact, I was the first time I think I preached there, I was about 20, 21 years of age. You talk about an absolute nervous wreck. Man, I checked every message twice. I checked every word, my pronunciations. Still got it all wrong. You know what I'm saying? Because that's where all the professors from the school, a lot of them go to. So you're like, oh, help me hear Jesus. So I'm preaching on the location of heaven. But I never forget, they were very fascinated by this. When you read the Bible about where heaven's located, because if we go outside and I say, look up and show me where heaven is, everybody's going to point straight up. But look here, if you're on the equator, you're actually pointing out. If you're South Pole, you're pointing down, right? So really, you're not pointing really up. You're pointing out or down, depending on where you're at. Now, here's what the Bible says about heaven. I want everybody to hear this because you're going to like this. In Ezekiel 1 and 4, he saw cherubim carrying the throne of God. Four cherubim, and the throne of God was on their shoulders. Now, the Hebrew people call it the Merkabah, which is the Hebrew word for a chariot, when God's throne becomes a chariot and goes to battle. But he said, I saw a whirlwind coming out of the north, bringing the throne of God. Psalms 48, verse 2 talks about Mount Zion in the sides of the north. Now, there's an earthly Mount Zion, which is Jerusalem, but there's also a heavenly Mount Zion mentioned in the book of Hebrews and also Revelation 14 and 1, but he says it's in the sides of the north. Then there's a verse, and I love this verse when I talk about heaven, Isaiah 14. Satan made a statement in Isaiah 14 that's a real revelation. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit in the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now, the mountain of the congregation is where Lucifer was one time an angel, an anointed cherub, leading worship and praise to God Almighty. And then he says, I will ascend into that mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now, in the Isaiah chapter 14, the word sides is a Hebrew word that means a flank, or figuratively, the rear or the access. Now, you know what Satan is saying? Catch this. Here's what he's saying. I am going to sneak up on God. I'm going to go into the northern part of the heavens in the sides of the north, you know. And he said, I'm going to sneak up from behind and kind of come through the back door. Hey, you ain't going to sneak up on God. The Bible says, God says, I'll be your rearward. It's not reward in the King James. It's rearward, and it means I'll bring up the flank. See, God's got you covered front, both sides, back, top, and bottom. Praise the Lord. And so Satan could not overthrow God. But here's my point. He talks about the sides of the north. Now, why is that important to understand? Listen to Job 26 and 7. God stretches out the north over the empty place, and he hangs the earth upon nothing. Now, we know the earth is hanging on nothing, but what's the deal about this empty place? Because if you look into the universe, in the northern part of the universe, there is a vast empty space. Now, in the heavens, there is a star called the North Star that sits 2 degrees off of true north. And the North Star is the brightest star in the heaven. It's called the directional star. When a person is lost at sea or anywhere else, if they find the North Star, they can automatically tell where the other three directions of the compass are by following the North Star. Now, I believe God put that star in the heavens as the brightest star in the north to identify when you look in that direction, you are looking in the actual direction of the throne room of God. Now, let's go back to this idea about traveling, because we're talking about cosmic entrances into the heaven. Where do we go when we die? We live in a three-dimensional world, which is height and width and length. In other words, three dimensions. Everything is like a box. Everything has those dimensions. When you add faith, you add the fourth dimension. Now, God, according to what you can research, he dwells at least in seven dimensions. Height, length, width, past, present, future, and also light. Light is a dimension in itself because light can be measured in the form of speed. It has a speed to it, over 186,000 miles a second. Now, wait a minute. Now, add soul, body, and spirit with those other dimensions, and you come up with 11 different dimensions. Now, this gets real heavy. I don't know. Figure this one out here. There we go. All right. Now, Jesus could walk through a door, right, with the door locked. Jesus could then disappear and be at the Sea of Galilee. Do you know why? Because he's in another dimension. We can't do that because we live in three. Now, here's what scientists have said. Are you ready for this? They said that at the sixth dimension, you could eat an orange from the inside out. Now, all of this gets into physics and all sorts of theories and things of this nature. Now, having said that, I want to share a couple things with you that I think you're going to find interesting, because when we die, people mock and say, wait a minute, how can the soul and spirit leave this earth and go billions and billions and billions or trillions of miles up to where God is? That's absolutely impossible. It is not when you understand a spirit body. A spirit body does not have the same structure that an actual human body has. In fact, let me just show you a couple things. June 4th, 2000. This article says, scientists claim they have broken the speed of light. Dr. Lejeune Wong of the NEC Princeton sent a pulse of light into a chamber of special gas, and before it entered, it went through and traveled 60 feet further across the laboratory. It was 300 times faster than light. It traveled at 55,800,000 miles per second. So in other words, he filled this chamber with gas, and when he shot the light in, as it went to the end, the beginning, it was already at the end and even went further than it was supposed to. And the key was the type of gas that he was using to shoot the light through. So that's what I call the mystery of the speed of light. Now listen to this. Scientists discover the key to invisibility. This is August 23, 2000. All this has been updated since then, by the way. Scientists have found a way to make flesh transparent for a few minutes of time. At the University of Texas, they created a tissue window in an area of 2 to 3 inches. They manipulate the way that light passes through the tissue, watch this, using a special gas. And they tested this area and actually saw where the skin itself totally becomes transparent. Now, let's just use reasoning here for a moment, and let's talk about a spirit body. A spirit body does not have physical limitations. A spirit body could go through a wall. A spirit body could travel not the speed of light, but the speed of thought, which cannot be measured. You've heard me talk about that on Manifest before. But this idea that scientists, in order to create invisibility, in order to create speed much faster than light, they have to use gases in order for that light to travel through. Now, stop and think for a moment. What is above the clouds? What is in the universe? What are the constellations? It's all consisting of gases. All the different hydrogen and all these other gases that are in the universe. Meaning, scientists on Earth are using those things to create invisibility. Are y'all listening to this? Invisibility and break the speed of light. So if we leave this planet in a spirit body, soul and spirit, or even a body where we're going to be raised, and we travel, we're actually traveling into a whole universe that consists of nothing but all these gases, which means it speeds up. Oh, you're getting this in a minute. It speeds up our travel from Earth to there just by what scientists are. You ought to give the Lord a hand right there. That's pretty good stuff myself. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think that's pretty good stuff. Now, one of the things also that's interesting when you talk about this, and I want to go ahead and get into this real quick, are wormholes. Now, Hawkins, who is a genius, he's the gentleman you see in the wheelchair, has come up with a theory, and it's not just his theory. Others have worked on this. There's several theories about what a wormhole is. Basically, a wormhole is a tunnel in the universe. It's like a tunnel that's there. physics say it's hypothetical, but it's a shortcut through outer space. A wormhole has two openings like a tube, one at the top, one at the bottom. The law of relativity is believed to exist. Hawking said that when you're in the wormhole, you travel much, much faster than the speed of light. In fact, it is a time-space tube. A wormhole is called a time-space tube. Now, let me just, I could get into all this, but let me just explain to you what he teaches. He says that when you get in this wormhole that has an opening, almost looks like a trumpet, and then it narrows, and up at the top, when you get to the top, it's like an actual trumpet that you would blow, right? So you're coming at the bottom of it, and you're getting out the top. He says the wormholes, the way they're made, the moment you enter the bottom, the moment you get to the bottom and make your first move, you're already at the top. Now, I'm only asking you, could that explain why everybody who claims to die, who's righteous, who all go up and they see heaven, describe going into a tunnel? Are these things that scientists are beginning to experiment with and discover with the Hubble telescope and through research only proving scientifically the simplicity of what God has told us already in His Word? Because you see, when we die, I mean, do we just go up in the air? We float up on the cloud? We just go to the left? No. You're like a magnet. You are attracted to the north. How many of you know there's a North Pole and South Pole, and there's magnetic fields in both of them? One's positive, one's negative. The whole earth would fall apart if it wasn't. So how do we, I love this stuff. So when we leave this planet, we will go into the universe. And what I'm saying is the research that science is doing now will only in the future authenticate what we have already written in the Word. And when we begin to look at it and research it, I'm telling you, it becomes extremely interesting. And so we're going to have a whole series on Manifest. In fact, you can see the date 2012. You can see a copy of the Mayan pyramid, the Mayan calendar. We're going to get into some heavy stuff in the next few weeks. And you don't want to miss it. And I'll be right back to close the program out here in just a moment.
During the next 24 months, the world will be inundated with news articles, books, and open discussions speculating on the possible future events of December 2012 to 2015. Some say fearful cosmic activity predicted by the ancient Mayan calendar could create an apocalyptic nightmare for planet Earth. In Perry Stone's new book, Unusual Prophecies Being Fulfilled, book number 7, Perry examines the years 2012 through 2015 and beyond, revealing many strange...
We will be talking about 2012 and 2011 and all that stuff soon, very soon, about the ancient Mayans and everything else. Because we got to go deep to the Bible, you know what I mean, deep in history and stuff like that, you know what I mean? And I'm going to take it to that next level. Like last year, I was talking about, you know, the New World Order and Illuminati and stuff like that. We're going to talk about this again. I'm going to upgrade this radio station in the name of the Lord. Okay, Faith is Power Radio. I'm signing out. I would like to pray for 1 second. Lord Father, thank you for everything you've done for us in your blood. Bless everybody that's been listening to us in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I will be back on tomorrow. Check out Luna Charles, Man or Not the Problem, on Saturday. Her book is out. She's going to be on 10 a.m. on Saturday, so just be ready. All right, thank you. God bless.